two teams of warriors, gladiators, battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Golden Point. I'm Mac. I'm here with my co-host, JC. This week, we're going to have the roundup, fans' verdict, 60 seconds of trivia, an interview with Canberra Raiders 5'8", Blake Austin. We're going to have question time, and we're going to finish up with Who Am I? So let's start off with the roundup. What was our quote of the week, JC?
All right, we'll go on for a quote from Phil Gould from the Penrith Panthers and also the Channel 9 commentary team. In regards to Paul Gallen, doesn't mention Paul Gallen, but it is directed at Paul Gallen. Over a period of time, I've said, and I've been astonished by the selfishness around this camp and around this team and in the leadership group. This obviously referring to New South Wales' loss in Game 2.
I think it's a bit harsh on him. I saw Flanagan actually responded to this and said that Phil Gould has earned the right to be able to make these sort of comments, but it's uncalled for. You know, I don't see any selfishness on Gallen's part, that's for sure. He tries his heart out every match. I think he's the heart and soul of New South Wales.
Yeah, I don't really know where it's coming from. From my understanding, Phil Gould doesn't actually have any impact, any insight into the New South Wales squad, team, camp, anything like that. I was actually reading today or yesterday, Phil Gould and Paul Gallen have only met once before. That was just in passing at a function quite a few years back. So I find it quite interesting that he makes these statements with things that... Look, he's got a great rugby league mind, and he's obviously had a lot of success in the game as a coach, even as a player, and now as a general manager. But at the same time, I just don't think he should be coming out and criticising the team like this. You don't really hear Queensland coming out and doing this. No. Sure, they've had a lot of success. They don't really need to criticise. But at the same time, it can't be good for the team. It can't be good for the state to split everyone like that. Like, sure, you've got to come up with more constructive criticism than anything.
Absolutely. It's an odd thing to say. And I can kind of see where he's coming from with the fact that there's been so many losses and Gallen has been the captain for that period of time. And I guess this year there was a bit of controversy around selections in terms of favouritism and things like that. So maybe he's hinting towards that, but overall seemed uncalled for.
Yeah, very much so.
So thumbs up, we've gone with the Tigers. They had an almost amazing comeback against the Storm. It's I can't believe they didn't do it. They were just on top so much in that second half. It's really disappointing for them to not actually get that win, but it must be a bit of a confidence boost to know they can do that to what is arguably the best team in the NRL at the moment.
Yeah, very disappointing for their fans that they couldn't come back and get the win, but I thought a very admirable effort in the second half. They were gone in the first half. They weren't even there. They didn't show up. So for them to come out in the second half and play like they did, it showed a lot of guts and it showed, I guess, a lot of drive. It showed the kind of skill that some of those players do have as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, for thumbs down this week, we've gone for Semi Radradra. This is for obvious reasons. I mean, we could list them. We don't really need to. But overall, what I'm going to say is that I don't judge any player that's looking for money, looking to help their family, help their future by securing good money for themselves. The problem I have with this current situation is that he's contracted to Parramatta. He's essentially walked out on them. He hasn't come back yet from Fiji. And look, it's a club that's in desperate despair. Their fans have had a terribly rough season. The board and the whole football club as a whole is in shambles. It's the last thing they needed. As far as I know, the club's done right by him since he's been there. It seems like a pretty poor act from him just to walk out on them and chase money in France.
Has it been confirmed that that's the reason why he's left? It's not for family or personal reasons or anything like that? Because I've had a bit of trouble trying to find out the exact reason for it.
Well, there is no reason because he hasn't left yet. That's the thing. That's why there's no clear understanding of what he's done. But you've got to see it this way, that he's been offered big money to play in France. Mm. He's left Parramatta and told them he was coming back and he hasn't.
Yeah.
So you can only... I'm not doubting that he has issues in his family. We know that his dad's sick. I'm sure he's got tons of personal issues. But that doesn't matter. When you've got a contract, you've got an agreement with a club, you need to honour that, or you need to get out of it in a professional and a mature way. You can't just run away.
Yeah. No, it's a dog move if he's just aren't for the money, that's for sure. So the big week four, we've gone for Tedesco. He's obviously got the matchup with Moylan this week and has been on fire, the best fullback in the comp, I would say so.
Yeah.
Is it his time to finally make his move to make that Origin fullback spot his own? Like, can he convince Laurie Daly with this one performance that he's the right choice and that's what they should go for?
Yeah.
It's a huge week for him. If he can absolutely destroy the Panthers, I think we could see that selection move being made.
Yeah, I don't even think he needs to destroy them. I just think he needs to have a good game. If he plays as well as he's played every other game this year, it's hard for the New South Wales selectors to leave him out.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, it's a bit of a mute point because we've lost the first two games, but at the same time, you got to give the guy an Origin debut. If he's the best player in that position, he kind of needs to play in any game that's available.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that is the roundup done. We're going to move on to fans' verdict. What do the fans have to say?
Yeah, a couple of Origin ones to kick us off. So the first one, does Origin live up to the hype? We go through a whole lot of speculation through the year. It starts before round one these days that we talk about Origin. We discuss our teams. We say who should be there. And this is all before a ball is kicked in the NRL. So keeping that in mind, we have 12, 13 rounds of build up to it. We say it's the pinnacle of the game. On the night, does it live up to that hype?
I don't think so. I think that, for me, maybe when I was younger it did, but in the past, I guess, 3 or 4 years, it really has gone downhill. I think as the media has become more prevalent and has more of an impact, social media as well, I really do think that by the time Origin comes around, I am exhausted from it.
Yeah.
You know, that no matter what happens, it could be, you know, the most amazing thing to ever occur in rugby league, and I'd be excited by it, but it definitely wouldn't be heart-stopping and, you know, the pinnacle, in my opinion.
No, I absolutely agree. It definitely does not live up to the hype. Nothing could live up to the hype that we give that. We've made it too big in our heads, and like you said, on social media, in the news, whatnot. Nothing could live up to that. The game has also changed to a place where Origin isn't exciting as it used to be. The game used to be a lot more free-flowing. There used to be a lot more room for star players to really show their worth. We used to have fighting. We used to have big shots. We've taken a lot of that out of the game, and that's also taken a lot out of Origin. So, for me, Origin is not what it used to be. I agree that when I was a kid, it was a much bigger thing, and maybe that was because I was a kid. But at the same time, I do think that you go back and watch those games, and there was more exciting moments in those games. It wasn't just a tussle that went down to the wire and maybe had a couple of points scored here and there. They were just good rugby league games, big impacts, occasionally a few fights, which, you know, depending on your opinion, you might want or not, but for me, that was Origin.
I think that's a really good point. Like, I think today's game has really become Queensland drives down as hard as they can, ties out the forwards of New South Wales, and then scores these relatively easy tries down within 10. There aren't these big length of the field, amazing tries that everyone wants to see where you get a big fend and a step and 18 players touch the ball in one sequence. You know, it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. So the fans have agreed with us. They've said yes, 36%, and no, 64%. So that was no, it does not live up to the hype as the winning bet.
There you go.
Second one, has Daly coached his last Origin series? Now, I'll just quickly chuck in as well. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. He might come back in 10 years, but let's just say, for now, has he coached his last Origin series?
I don't see how he can't have. I think that, you know, this series in particular has been a bit of a shambles from start to finish. I think it's felt like there hasn't been confidence. It felt like every single, like, the first two games that the team has just come out without purpose. They really just haven't shown that superior game plan. There hasn't been any thought to it. The Dylan Walker selection in particular in game one, the way how he was played and the way how the interchange was mismanaged once again is enough to say, sorry, Laurie, you're just not the coach for us.
Yeah, I agree. I think it has to be his last season. He's a guy that you think of Laurie Daly, and you think that each game he comes out and press conference and says, oh, I'm proud of the boys, I'm proud of the effort, I'm proud of what they've done, and they'll be back for game 2 and 3. Let's go back and have a look at the teams from 2013, 14, 15, 16, however many he's coached. And they're all different.
Yeah.
If he's so proud of them and he's so happy with what they've done, why is the team changing every year to start with? There's no consistency there. Second of all, there's these players playing in the NRL that are starring in their positions. We talked about James Tedesco earlier. Obviously, he was out for game one. That's fair enough. You got players like Wade Graham, Tyson Frizzell, that aren't getting picked when they should be picked.
Yeah.
Picked too late or not picked at all. And it's not good enough from Daly. The New South Wales coach needs to pick the best players in the best positions. He needs to get rid of some of these old-timers, I think, that have been there for too long. I'm not saying I agree with Phil Gould's comments that we talked about earlier, because I don't think those players are selfish.
Yeah.
I just think there's some players that, yeah, are probably in the leadership group that shouldn't be there anymore. They probably don't deserve their spot anymore. So I think we need a coach that's going to do two things. He's going to have consistency and have maybe a 3 or 4 year plan. Plus, we need to be picking the best players for those positions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree 100%.
All right, so the fans have agreed with us again. Yes, 78%, no, 22%.
Okay, that's interesting.
And our last fans' verdict for this week, who will be minor premiers?
Ooh.
We've got the options of Sharks, Storm, Cowboys and Broncos. We also had the option of comment for another team.
Okay, I really do like the Sharks. I think that they're playing fantastically this season. However, I don't think they're going to be able to keep it up for the remaining rounds. I think they're going to have a bit of a dip. Whether that carries on to the finals or not, I don't know. I think the Storm are the consistent team that will be able to carry on, so I think they're going to be the minor premiers.
Yep, I agree. Storm, for sure. They are just a... I don't even know what you call it. Just from 1 to 17, they just know what their job is. They do it. They get it done. They aren't too flashy. It's just Craig Bellamy's just a super coach. He's an amazing...
They're a professional team.
Yep.
You know, that's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Fans have slightly disagreed. Sharks, 59%. Storm, 30%. Cowboys, 9%. And Broncos, 2%. Wow. We also had a few people throw Parramatta there as a in a parallel universe where their board members don't violate the salary cap. That obviously didn't happen. So, yeah.
There you go. All right. So that is fans' verdict all done. I'm going to move on to 60 seconds of trivia. Let's hope I can repeat my last effort, which was a 5 over 5, which I've been enjoying for a full 2 weeks.
Well, I'm hoping you can repeat my effort, which was 0 last week.
All right.
Let's get things started. What was the biggest winning margin in round 16?
Oh, was it 12 points?
Incorrect. Which game got the highest crowd figure in round 16?
The Bulldogs Broncos?
Incorrect. Which player scored a penalty try in round 16?
Oh, that was... pass.
Two players celebrated 200 game milestones in round 16. Who were they?
Was Peter Wallace one?
Correct.
I don't know who the other one was. Pass.
Which team in the bottom eight has the best for and against?
That would be the Titans.
Correct. What was the biggest winning margin in round 16?
18.
Incorrect. Which game got the highest crowd figure in round 16?
The Tigers Storm?
Incorrect. Which player scored a penalty try in round 16?
Oh, I can't remember his name. Pass.
Two players celebrated 200 game milestones. Peter Wallace is one. That is time.
That is Matt going back to what he does best.
Oh, well, you beat me from last week. So if we started the competition then, you'd be winning. All right, let's go through them. What was the biggest winning margin in round 16? 26 points, the Bulldogs over the Broncos.
Of course. For some reason, I had the Dragons game. And then in my head, for later questions, I thought about the Bulldogs being such big winners. But yeah, okay.
So 40 to 14. Which game got the highest crowd figure in round 16? It was Cowboys versus Manly with 15,854. So a relatively low crowd, but I mean...
Monday night game as well.
Yeah, Monday night game. Wow, yeah. Obviously Cowboys fans coming out for their team.
Actually, yeah, it was packed though.
Yeah. Which player scored a penalty try in round 16? It was Jason Bikuya for Cronulla versus the Warriors.
I knew it was in that game. I couldn't remember who it was, but...
So two players celebrated 200 game milestones in round 16. This was a little bit of a trick question. Peter Wallace did celebrate his 200th game. Cooper Cronk also celebrated a 200-game milestone. It was his 200th win.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think he played maybe I'm going to guess, but it's somewhere around 250 games. And, that's amazing. So a bit higher, isn't it? A bit higher than 250, but yeah, 200 games in
his
career.
That's a huge winning rate. Yeah, that's amazing.
Stunning. And which team in the bottom eight has the best for and against? It was the Titans indeed, and they are on minus 14.
There you go.
So one.
Wow. One and a half.
Okay, well, I got half last week then. And that's trivia.
All right. So we're going to move on to our interview with Canberra 5'8", Blake Austin.
This podcast is made possible thanks to our partners at LeagueFreak.com, the place for all things rugby league. LeagueFreak.com.
Hi, Blake. It's Mac and JC from the Golden Point. How are you going?
Good, thanks, bud. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for giving me some time tonight.
You're on, mate.
Great. So I've just got a few questions to go through and then a couple of fan-submitted questions as well. I'll let JC kick us off.
No worries.
Thanks for this, Blake. So last year you moved to Canberra and your game seemed to go to a whole new level. What do you put that down to?
Oh, look, I think, my whole career I was sort of crying out to make a position my own, and I struggled to do that for a few years, and Ricky Stewart saw me as a 5'8 and brought me down here to play number 6, and I think I took a whole lot of confidence out of that.
Yeah, fair enough. I did notice, like, when you first came into the league, it did seem like you were playing in every position from fullback to lock almost. Did you always see yourself as a 5'8?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you first come into grade, I think versatility is a good thing, and it's a way to get your foot in the door, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to shake that tag as quick as I would have liked to. So, I was always a 5'8 coming through, and sort of grew a little bit when my puberty and things like that. And some people had the view that I was going to be a ball playing lock or a second rower. And that's where the trouble started. I had a few coaches that couldn't tell me where I was going to end up, and it was pretty frustrating in the end.
Yeah, well, 5'8's definitely going well for you at the moment. So, last year and a little bit this year, obviously Origin and your name have been coming up in quite a few conversations together. This year, early on, Laurie Daly came out and said that he thought you and Aiden Caesar might be a little bit lacking in big game experience for Origin. How did you take that, and did that affect your game at all?
No, I don't think it affected my game. The path my season's taken this year has been frustrating. I've had a couple of injuries and a few setbacks. So for me, it's about performing well for the Raiders. And Origin's sort of the pinnacle of the game, and I'd love to be involved one day. And hopefully, it's somewhere in the future.
Yeah, fair enough. And in terms of moving to Canberra, how did you find that from a football player's perspective? Is it a great place to transition to, did you think, or was it a bit harder coming from Sydney?
To be quite honest, when I first come down, it sort of felt like a footy camp in a way. I felt like a young kid that moved away from his family and come down here to play footy. I was at training every day and just really enjoying life. And the way my season panned out in my first year here made things really seamless. And when you're playing some really good footy, it's everything else is pretty easy. So as I've said, this year I've been faced with a few more setbacks and troubles, but things are looking up, and as a team we're in a good position.
Was it any harder trying to acclimatise to the colder weather down there, both training and playing, or did you pretty much fall into that naturally?
Yeah, it's something you sort of naturally fall into. Obviously, when people hear you live in Canberra, the first question is how do you find the cold, and personally, I don't mind the cold, and the weather's not too dissimilar to sort of Western Sydney and Penrith, so I found the move pretty seamless.
So a few years ago, while you're at the Tigers, you coached the Doonside Roos under 16s, a team that was having some issues both on and off the field, but you turned them around into a successful team. What do you put that down to? And do you have any advice for any coaches of junior teams that might be going through a similar thing at the moment?
Yeah, I guess advice-wise, I sort of come down in a bit of a glorified role, and sometimes it's easier for young kids to listen to someone that plays at a higher level than it is for someone else. And that's no disrespect to any junior coaches, because they do a wonderful thing. But I didn't have any magic cures or things like that. As I said, I just I had a name in the area and a bit of a reputation in the area, and it really helped for me with the kids. And for me, it was just about using that in a positive way and making a difference in some young kids' lives.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And when you're at the Tigers, Mick Potter was quoted as saying that you're an excellent goal kicker. We haven't seen a whole lot of that in your career so far. Is that something you'd like to try and take on and become a first-string goal kicker?
Oh, look, mate, I'm hoping to be at the Raiders for a long time. And, if I am, we've got Jared Croker, who's 26 years old and breaking point scoring records everywhere. So, Aiden Caesar's a pretty handy kicker as well, and it's just not something that's needed in where I am at the moment,
It's always good to keep them on their toes, though, and make them know that you're there to take over.
Oh, I sure do let them know plenty that I'm there and ready. And we've got some great kickers.
So, just ducking back to the coaching for a moment, do you see that as a possibility in the future after you hang up the boots, possibly in the NRL?
Oh, look, I think after footy that I'm going to be involved in the game in some capacity, whether that's coaching, I'm not sure. I just know that rugby league's my life and my passion, and I heard Corey Parker talk about the other day in retirement that he wants to do his best to repay the game, and I thought they were really, really cool words to hear him say. And I think he said that he'd struggle to repay what the game's given him, but I'll definitely be involved in rugby league in some capacity.
Sure. Yeah. And do you watch much rugby league on a weekly basis besides your own games?
Oh, I don't miss a game, to be honest, mate. I live and breathe the game, and don't miss too many.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, great. So we've got a few questions sent in by our listeners. They're just a bit silly. So feel free to just give them a yes or a no or a quick answer.
Or a pass.
Yeah, a pass. So have you checked out your Wikipedia page before?
Yeah, I've had a little bit of a glance. I'm not, is this a Portugal question?
No, not at all. Is there anything in there that you've wanted to edit yourself?
No. I haven't looked right into it, but a lot of people tell me that it says I've played for Portugal there, which is really great, but I don't have any descent, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it says both that you have descent, Portuguese descent, and that you represented their national team, plus that you played for them in the Cabramatta Nines tournament.
Yes, I have represented them, but I don't actually qualify. I was a young kid and got invited to a game of footy, and I turned out to be one of their better players, so they invited me back a few more times.
Okay, so the Australian selectors don't have anything to worry about just yet.
Nah, but Portugal's coming, so they always
are. Is there any inspiration to the hair and goatee that you sport?
Nah, not particularly. It's it's a hairstyle that I had going, and just something I didn't mind, and I don't know if you noticed, but I've had a trim over the last couple of weeks, and I've still got the goatee going, but the hair's a little bit shorter.
Who's the most famous person you have in your phone?
As in what, a phone number?
Yeah. It's not leading anywhere. We're not going to ask you to call them.
He's a pretty big Origin star at the moment. And, so I'll go with him.
That's pretty big, yeah.
And did you have a favourite player growing up?
I had a few over the years. My first favourite player that I recall is David Vialecki from the Parramatta Eels.
Yeah, sure.
I was a pretty big Parra fan, and he wore green boots and had really big calf muscles. So he was my favourite. And then as I got older, I took a liking to a lot of the bigger running 5'8s in guys like Trent Barrett and Todd Carney as I got older, and Greg Bird.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, that's all the questions we've got for you tonight, Blake. We really appreciate you giving us a bit of time.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thanks, Blake.
Good luck with the rest of the season. Thanks.
Not a problem. Thanks, mate.
Bye.
All right. That's our interview all done with Blake Austin. Going to move on to question time. What you got, JC?
All right. So, is a top four set, or will a team sneak in?
When you say top four, are you including Parramatta there?
Of course not.
I would say that a team will sneak in. I didn't think this until the Broncos game last week, and now I could see the Bulldogs and the Broncos switching places, really.
Hmm.
I just I don't know. They've really had just such a dip in form over this Origin period, like more so than usual. It's been it's been pretty shocking, I think.
You have to ask. I wonder if at all it has to do with Bennett going over to England taking over kind of his putting on his England cap for
it's
a little while.
Odd time to do it. It's just like, okay, cool. Yeah. So all our senior players are out. I'm just going to disappear for a little bit as well. You know.
I guess I can see the logic in the fact that obviously he needs to prepare for the end of the year and it's his best chance to do that. But at the same time, the Broncos can't be too happy about it.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that though. I could see them, Bulldogs, possibly sneaking in there.
Yeah. All right. So what's your game of the round?
My game of the round or what I think the game of the round will
be? Your game of the round, and then we can talk about the game of the round.
I'm going to go West Tigers Panthers. Okay. I think that's going to be the most exciting game to watch for a fan. I think both teams have shown some form or another in the last couple of weeks, and I think the season's on the line for both teams, more so the Tigers obviously than the Panthers, but I think in terms of the fullback battle, that's going to be good.
Oh,
it's
going to
be very much worth watching, and they're both just fun teams to watch most of the time, so yeah, that one. But obviously game of the round for the NRL and for the broadcasters out there is going to be Melbourne and the Broncos.
Yep, that's true. Super Saturday actually looks amazing. Like, just looking at it, like, the Warriors-Titans game I'm really excited for, then the Panthers game, and then Sharks-Eels. Like, all three of those games just have potential of being, like, fantastic ones.
Yeah, plenty on the line in all three games, really.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so which team needs a win the most in round 17? 17. It's episode
18,
round 17.
I'm going to say the Broncos. Yeah. I think they've lost three in a row now, and they're playing against probably the pinnacle of the rugby league at the moment. No offense to the Sharks at all, but you know it's such a big match for them, and they need to bounce back after what happened to them last week. You know, it's another loss here, another bad loss here, and I think players start getting rattled.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely, they need to get a win. Otherwise, look, they could realistically drop out of the eight this week. It's not going to happen, but they realistically could actually do it. Yeah. And if not this week, they could next week quite easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So which time sort of ties into that one actually? Which team outside the eight has the best chance of jumping into the eight this week?
Into the eight. Oh, it's tough. I guess based on games that are being played and you know opposition. I'm going to say the Dragons. They're coming up the Seagulls. Seagulls have, I think, seven games in a row.
They haven't won since round eight, I think.
Yeah. It's insane. So I'm going to say them. Seagulls did look good against the Cowboys. Obviously, any time you take the reigning premiers to the 80th minute, you're doing well. But based on the fact that the Seagulls are definitely a bit of a dip at the moment and the Dragons had a good win on the weekend, I'm going to say they could definitely put a few points on them and possibly jump a couple of teams around the same amount of points as them.
Yeah, the Seagulls have just been so inconsistent. I can't believe it. Like, they've not played 80 minutes this season.
It's just... I feel bad, but look how many injuries they've had. I actually kind of mirror it with Panther season last year. So many injuries in key positions.
It's true. We both had them, I think, as top four teams at the start of the season. So it's been quite a fall from grace for them.
They bought fantastically.
Yeah, they look great.
This week, South versus North Queensland is played at Barlow Park in Cairns. So despite this being a South home game as well, at this stage of the season, where both teams are, do you think South management are regretting this decision?
I don't think so. I think it might be the best thing for them to get away and sort of, I know it's going up into Cowboys territory, but you know, the Panthers did a thing earlier in the season. They went to New Zealand for a home game for the New Zealand side. And it in the end, I think they won that game. They sort of, I think just getting away from everything, being able to go like a whole new area was good for them.
That's fair enough. I don't think it is at all. It's North Queensland. You're going up in the territory. North Queensland have got an amazing winning record up at home. They're 8-0 this season for home games. They're playing in their... it's not their heartland because they're obviously from Townsville, but at the same time, it's North Queensland. They're obviously doing it because it gets them a bit more money, gets some more fans up the top end of the country. But at the same time, how much is that money worth, really? Because... their season, if they don't win this week, they're not making the eight.
Yeah,
they're slim chances of making it at the moment, but they won't. They will not make the eight if they lose this week. So for me, it's not good. I wouldn't be happy. If I was a Rabbitohs fan or I was reading the Rabbitohs membership management, I would not be happy with we're going up to Cairns this week.
Yeah, I was like, no taxi taxis. All right. So the Roosters, they're welcoming back Mitchell Pearce this week, and they've also just come off the bye. Do you think these two factors give them any chance to beat the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I do. The Roosters still have a very solid team. They've lost some big, big players this year, but they do still have solid players across the board. I think Boyd Cordner is also a chance to come back this week, which would be a huge plus for them. So one thing that won't help them is the fact that it's round 17 and their chances of making the finals are all but gone, really.
Yeah.
Mathematically, I'm sure they can still make it, but realistically, they're gone. And I'm sure I'm not a professional rugby league player by any means. Maybe in another life I could have been. You know, that's a different discussion for a different podcast. But surely as a player, that it doesn't give you as much drive for these big games. And I think the Bulldogs players will have more drive in them than the Roosters players. So I don't see the Roosters coming out on top.
You see teams often in that position where they can't make the finals anymore start wanting to play that upset role, though, where they do get their motivation and all of a sudden they turn it on because that whole pressure is gone and it's just about playing fun footy from now on.
Maybe, but the Roosters are a team that have been successful. They've won the last three minor premierships. So this is really a weird place for a lot of those players because they've still got their core group there. I can't see it.
Yeah,
going too well.
Fair enough. So that's question time all done. We're going to move on to who am I? So for those of you that are playing at home and aren't familiar with the game, I've selected the player that or a coach that has coached or played over 100 games in the NRL. They have retired in the past 10 years, or they could still be currently playing. And JC needs to be able to guess this from 10 clues. All right, let's start off with clue number one. I made my debut in 2003. I played 222 games in the NRL. I played 12 games for Queensland and one game for Australia. I played lock throughout my career.
Do we just have a couple of pauses?
Might
want to try and beat some records.
All right, so that's four, which is the record, if you'd like to tie it.
So let's go through them again.
All right, I made my debut in 2003. I played 222 games in the NRL. I played 12 games for Queensland and one game for Australia. I played lock throughout my career.
Alrighty, I've got someone in mind, but I don't. I don't know. I'm not going to have a guess yet. I'm not guessing. I'm just going to be speaking out, thinking out loud here. I'm thinking maybe Dallas Johnson.
Okay.
I'm not sure about if he. I feel like he did play for Australia, but I would have thought it would have been one more than one game. Anyway, we'll keep going.
All right. In 2010, I played 28 games for the Catalans Dragons. In 2007, I broke the record for the most tackles in an Origin match with 62.
He was a good tackler.
He was. I played the majority of my games for the Melbourne Storm. I made my NRL debut alongside Billy Slater, who we also played our 150th game in the same match. Obviously not that debut match, but 150 games later.
Because that really needed to be
I don't know, but yeah. Do you want any more time to think? That is eight?
No, let's go to the 10. I'm not beating any records. Let's go to the 10.
I was regarded as a prolific tackler, and I finished my career in 2013 after three seasons with the Cowboys.
I feel like it has to be Dallas Johnson, but...
Is that your guess?
I feel like maybe I'm not thinking of somebody, and... It could be wrong. I feel like it's... I mean, it came to me super early. Maybe if I had a chance to break the record, I would have gone for it. I feel like maybe I'm jumping into it. I'm just going Dallas Johnson the whole time, thinking through every question. He fits the bill, except I thought he would have played more than one game for Australia.
You want me to go through them again?
I think I can remember. Let's go through them just for the fans at home.
Okay. I made my debut in 2003, played 222 games in the NRL, played 12 games for Queensland and one game for Australia. I played lock throughout my career. In 2010, I played 28 games for the Catalans Dragons. In 2007, I broke the record for most tackles in an Origin match with 62. I played the majority of my games for the Melbourne Storm. I made my debut alongside Billy Slater, We also played our 150th game in our same in the same match. I was regarded as a prolific tackler, and I finished my career in 2013 after three seasons with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't remember Jalas Johnson playing for the Catalans, but there's a lot of players that sort of take a break from the NRL and go over there. I'm going to guess Jalas Johnson.
Well, that is correct. There you go. I was worried as soon as I said lock, you were going to get it, because he very much just played lock and didn't play anywhere else, and that was it.
Hmm.
But yeah, only one game for Australia, which is... Yeah. Very surprising.
It is surprising, yeah. He was a mainstay of the Queensland team for quite a while there.
Yeah, 2007, just one game.
Hmm. Deserve more.
I actually thought he played for Queensland a lot more as well, because I remember growing up, he was one of my favourite players. I was reading when I was doing some research on him that Craig Bellamy said he's the toughest player he's ever seen by far, because he'd just get knocked out and he'd get straight back up.
Back in the days where you could do that.
Yeah. Someone said they actually saw him like get knocked out, wake up, get up, and still make a tackle. Like, you know,
he was a tackling machine. He used to rack their numbers up every week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think good player. Those sort of players are unfortunately sort of disappeared in the NRL a bit. Like even like Sean Fenton, like he's not even a mainstay in, for the Raiders anymore. You know, It's a shame. I really love those sort of players. They're the unsung heroes of the NRL.
Yeah. All right. So I guess I said his name after five, so I'll take five.
Well, you won't.
Well, maybe I should take the records that you didn't give me a chance.
Look, if this is the way I have to win, this is the way I'm going to win. All right, that's the podcast done for this week. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Come find us, come follow us, come like us, do whatever you want.
whatever you want.
And yeah, we will be back next week.
Bye.
See ya.
You've just listened to the Golden Point. Well done.